we'll open in prayer. Brother Mike, will you open, please?
Sure. Our Heavenly Father, we come before Thee, Lord, with hearts full of joy and thanksgiving, Father, for the things that You have shown us, the things that You have worked in us, the things that You have worked through us, Father. We thank You for our fellowship of believers of like precious faith. We're able to come together and look more into Thy Word, Lord. Amen. We thank You for your fellowship with us.
Amen.
That is the precious thing that brings us together. That our fellowship is truly with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We thank You for the realities that You are working in all of us. We thank You for the exceeding great and precious promises that are laid before us, that we partake of even now in measure with the promise of fullness yet to come when the Lord Jesus returns from heaven. Father, we thank Thee for these times of gathering. We thank You for the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of Holy Brother, Father, and we ask that You would be continue to strengthen us and encourage our hearts as we continue to pilgrimage through this world, Father. We thank You for Your faithfulness in bringing all things together in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And look for His soon return, Father.
Amen.
We ask that You will remember those who are not able to be with us this morning, Father, that You would encourage their hearts and strengthen their faith. Amen. We ask this all and give Thee thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I have some thoughts this morning on taking up the cross. There came a time in our Lord's ministry when He began to speak to His disciples about His coming death on the cross. Peter was horrified at this, but even before this, Jesus had taught that His followers, His disciples, would be required to willingly take up their cross if they desired to continue to follow Him. This was an absolute condition to follow Jesus. And there went great multitudes with Him, and He turned and said unto them, If any man come unto Me, and hate not his father and mother, and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. Jesus was laying down the conditions of following Him to the multitudes, which would weed out any who were insincere and not willing to sacrifice everything to become His disciple. Jesus will have no competitors in the heart's affections, not family or friends, not position or money, and not one's own flesh. Verse 27 of this Luke 14 text says, And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after Me cannot be My disciple.
Amen.
A disciple is a learner, one who sits at the feet of a teacher. As brethren have stated, Jesus will not teach those who are not willing to take up the cross.
Amen.
So what does it mean to take up the cross? Briefly, it means to die. Mortify or put to death your members which are upon the earth,
Amen.
Paul wrote to the Colossians. It means to put to death your flesh. It means to deny oneself. Jesus said, If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me.
Amen.
That's Luke's comment, the daily part. This is the battle to which we are called, the battle between the flesh and spirit. It is fought daily and moment by moment. Everyone who belongs to Jesus Christ is in the midst of this battle.
Amen.
As my brethren well know.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who is in glory has overcome the flesh.
Amen.
And this world by God's rich grace and mercy.
Yeah.
And everyone who endures unto the end will be with Him in glory.
Amen.
This battle is not fought by sheer willpower or in our own strength. Righteousness is not obtained by our works or by keeping the law. It is of faith that it might be by grace.
Yes.
Amen. Amen.
To the end, the promise is sure to all the seed.
Amen.
The battle is best fought indirectly by walking in the Spirit. Paul wrote to the Galatians, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
And that word shall is a strong word. The NASB says, But I say, walk in the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh.
Amen.
the NIV, so I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature.
Amen.
Paul wrote to the Galatians these comforting words, they that are Christ have crucified the flesh.
Amen.
With the affections and lusts. They who are Christ, who are living in and by the Spirit, who are evidencing the fruits of the Spirit and walking in them, have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there.
Amen.
That's the New Living Translation. So what is left? Reckoning. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Every believer has his own cross. Jesus said this, he that taketh not his cross. The cross includes all sorts of afflictions and reproaches because we follow Christ and because we are living in this world. We have our own particular afflictions, which are appointed by God and given for us to bear. Each of these afflictions demands self-denial. But bearing our cross works for us. If we can see that these afflictions come from Him, we know that the bearing of them will work out for our good. This is one of the ways that we glorify God. And I had some thoughts on how bearing our cross works for us. For one, would we know the extent of God's all-sufficient grace without cross-bearing? What would we know about God's grace if that holy apostle had no thorn in the flesh to overcome? Who is not ministered to over and over again by what Jesus spoke to Paul? My grace is sufficient for
Amen.
Thee. For my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Amen.
And two, we cannot live with Christ if we are not dead to self. It is a faithful saying, if we be dead with him,
yes,
we shall also live with him. Mm-hmm. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us.
Amen.
If we do not suffer with him, we cannot reign with him.
Amen.
Three, cross-bearing has been sanctified by the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes,
amen.
His cross is the primary one. To think of his cross ministers peace, comfort, and hope to us. We glory in his cross and are not ashamed of it, because by it our salvation came.
Amen.
Four, cross-bearing has a sanctifying effect in us.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us walk worthy of the Lord, increasing our dependency upon him and our faith in him. This is a kingdom work,
yes,
no matter how privately or how openly it is done.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus knows and provides what is necessary to make it through. With the command to crucify the flesh comes the power and grace,
yes,
to do it.
Amen.
Our fellowship with Christ is made richer. Point five. We begin to see the great love the Son had for the Father and for mankind, that he would be willing to bear the sins of the world on his cross. We have fellowship with Christ in his sufferings. The servant is as his master, each in his own measure. And six, cross-bearing verifies the scriptures to our own hearts. What is being worked out in our lives is just like the scripture says.
Amen.
Amen.
It also verifies to us that we are the children of God.
Amen.
Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Cross-bearing is leading somewhere.
Yeah.
It's leading to a resurrection and eternal life with our Lord. He has borne the heavier load. We only have to carry it here.
Yeah.
And the distance gets shorter every day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.